Hello and welcome to the program. We're continuing in the book of Jonah. We're in chapter 2. If you possibly can, have your Bible ready. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Yeah, he's praying now. This fellow's going to run away from God, run away from God's purpose for his life. How's that working out for you, Jonah? Not working out so good. He prayed. The Bible says he entreated. To entreat is to ask someone earnestly or anxiously to do something. That's what Jonah's doing now in the belly of the big fish. It would have been a lot better for Jonah if he simply would have said, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will."
To the hands of the potter, from an old field of clay, I was brought by the Spirit to Jesus one day, and the people gathered round him, and each tried to say what the potter would make from this poor lump of clay. Just some clay and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter for his hand. In the hands of the potter, I was washed clean, and then on my sweep, Jesus crushed me again and again. And the people passing near him could all hear him say, "I must do this poor lump of clay, just some clay and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter for his hands, though wounded, were tender and kind as he fashioned a vessel."
Well, we read in verse number 2, then, that's when he got into the belly of that big fish, then Jonah prayed. That word prayed means to entreat. And to entreat means to ask somebody earnestly or anxiously to do something. Well, we read in verse 2, Jonah said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Now at the end of this prayer, sounds good. He said, I will pay that that I have vowed. I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to be doing your work. So I'm going to do it. Get me out of this fish. Well, you'll see that this whole prayer is all about Jonah. It's all about me. Got to have it my way. Verse 1, I cried, my affliction, get me out of the belly of hell. I am down into the deep. They have the waters have compassed me about. The waves have passed over me. I said, I am cast out of thy sight. I will look again toward thy temple. The waters compassed me, verse 5. The weeds are wrapped around my head. Verse 6, I went down to the bottom, and the bars of earth was about me. And in verse number 7, my soul fainted within me. My prayer came unto thee. All about me. It's all about me. And so God in his mercy, in spite of the fact that this was one phony repentance, the Bible says the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Nothing in this prayer about the goodness of God. It's all about Jonah. All about me. The word me, mine, my, or I is found 48 times in only 4 chapters of this little book. Jonah, it's all about me. He said in Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 3, it is better for me to die than to live. He said in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 8, it is better for me to die than to live. It's all about me. I don't care about those people in Nineveh. I don't care about those sailors on the boat, whether they ever found the Lord or not. It's all about me. Well, we see the mercy of God, and we get to chapter 3, and the second time, the word of the Lord comes unto Jonah. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, that phrase is in the Bible 28 times. Thank God that he gives us another chance. You read the phrase the second time concerning Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 2, concerning Jeremiah 1 and 13, concerning Joseph in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 2, 3 times concerning Peter in Mark 14, John 21, and Acts 10, and then concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 2. Now, when you see the phrase, it doesn't mean they're doing wrong all the time. It did with Jonah, but Jesus never did anything wrong. And so we look here and we see the second time. Something happens the second time for somebody. It's an interesting study. We're not going to do that in today's program, maybe another time. Well, it says in verse number 3, God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Well, Jonah, he's had quite an experience in the belly of that big fish. And so we read that Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, he had to go 2,500 miles just to get back to Joppa, and then he had to go another 550 miles to get to Nineveh. So he had lots of time to think over what he was doing in his life and what his attitude was all about. Well, he arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, verse 3. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It took 3 days to travel across that city. Well, we read in verse number 4 that he begins to preach. Now, he enters into the city. You can't imagine what it was like to come up to that place. There's actually pictures on the internet of what Babylon or what Nineveh looked like there. There was 15 gates. They had 50-foot walls, and it was a large place. You can imagine Jonah when he came up to that wicked, wicked place. The Assyrian sodomites in there. It's not a nice place to go. But that's not the point. God said, Jonah, you're my prophet. Do what I tell you. So now he's doing it, and he gets there, and we read in verse number 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now you can see this prophet walking through this big city, and that's all he's saying. It's only 5 words in the Hebrew. It's 8 words in English here. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's just walking through the city, doing what God told him to do. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his message. Well, he received instructions from God. God said in verse 2, go preach. And then he said, preach what I bid you to preach. And Jonah, in obedience, even though with a bad attitude, we read that Jonah went and preached according to the word of the Lord. And he said what God told him to say. Verse 4, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, they're not going to get any. I mean, is anybody going to get saved with that little message? We've got to have, an order of service, don't we? We have to sing, pray, sing, announcements, offering. Yeah, don't forget the offering. And then we have to have some special here. Somebody can do a little special, and then we can have a sermon, and maybe that should be 3 points. Maybe it should be 7 points. I don't know. Well, you can't win anybody to the Lord just walking through, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Really, let's read the results. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They didn't believe Jonah. Nobody would believe him. They believed God, preaching what he was bid to preach and leaving the results to the Lord is what we should be doing today. We look and Jonah preached and they believed. Stephen preached and they stoned him to death. Peter preached and thousands responded in a positive manner. Paul preached, they whipped him, they threw him in prison and put him to death. Jesus preached and they crucified him. What we need to do is not to be concerned about the results, leave the results to the Lord. Untold multitudes of people have been saved in the last 2,000 years and are still being saved today because that Stephen and Peter and Paul and Jesus preached the whole counsel of God. Now, it didn't look like it turned out too good for Stephen when they stoned him. People are still getting saved through that message 2,000 years later. What we just need to do is leave the results with God. People were getting saved because they preached. The Bible says Jonah went, preached according to the word of the Lord. We read in verse 5, so as a result, that means the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now keep in mind, these are Gentiles. Not only Gentiles, these are Assyrians. These are wicked people. This city has got a lot of sodomites in it. And the Bible is saying here, when Jonah just preached what God told him to preach, God took care of the results. We see in verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Wow, we get some of our political leaders to do that today, it'd be a great thing. No, we're not going to get him to do that, but if we just preach what the Lord tells us to preach, he might. Or then again, they might put us to death. Let's just leave the results to God. We read in verse 8, the king said, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and turn, and God, if we do that, he said, verse 9, perhaps God will turn from his fierce anger that we perish not. And verse number 10 says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now you got three types of repentance here. You've got Jonah, he repented. He was a phony repenter, but he repented. Yes, so did Judas, just for himself. He repented. Then you got the people of Nineveh. They repented, and they were genuine. And then we have God repenting. Now, God's never done anything wrong. It simply means when God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, he turned, and he's not going to do what he said he was going to do in the area of judgment. The people of Nineveh repented. Their repentance was genuine. They turned from their sin, and God, as a result, turned from his anger. Well, when we get to the New Testament, Jesus is preaching, and they're not listening to him. And what did he say? Matthew 12, verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. They repented. Those Assyrians, those Gentiles, he says to these Jews in Israel there in Matthew chapter 12. Listen to me. They, the men of Nineveh, will rise up in judgment against you fellows. They repented. You have not. It's interesting, if you look at the Bible carefully, there's more in the Bible about Christians repenting today than there is about unsaved people repenting. Make this your prayer today. Listen carefully to the words, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through Savior nigh. Teach me to